Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to CUTV News Radio. It's a delight to have you back with us today. And it's my honor because I'm very excited. Dr. Kim Nugent is back with us again for another of a series of broadcasts she's been having with us here on CUTV News Radio. She, as you may know, if you've heard any of these shows so far, is an innovation leadership coach. She helps middle and senior managers cultivate the employees who want to be promoted specifically and enhance their career success. She's a remarkable coach. She specializes in higher education, working colleges, universities, and executive committees. She also works a lot with small boutique companies as well as educational corporations, healthcare, and finance. She has an extraordinary track record when it comes to developing talent, and many of her previous clients have Dr. Nugent, not her help, for their rising to the top of their careers and attaining their dream job. If you're stuck in your career, if you really think you'd like to soar and skyrocket, she is someone you really should pay a lot of attention to, and she is making her expertise now available to you because within the last couple of weeks, she has written a book that has just been published, and it's called Promotion Protocol, Unlock the Secrets of Promotability and Career Success. It really tells all of her secrets on what she does with people to help them make them more promotable within a company. And it's a delight to have her with us. We've talked a lot with her, or she's been interviewed a lot here on CUTV News Radio about exactly what she does and her story. And we're going to talk with a little bit more about that, but then we're going to get into this book and find out just how helpful it can be to anyone who is in a career and feels somewhat stuck, and they just can't get out of that rut they're in. Your book would be a big help for them, wouldn't it, Dr. Nugent?
Absolutely, Doug.
I totally agree. Dr. Nugent is on the line with us from her headquarters in Houston, Texas, where it is very hot and muggy today, but it's cool in this studio and it's cool on this radio, on this radio network, because Dr. Nugent is a fabulous guest. Doctor, first off, tell me, for those who have not heard anything about you or heard your story before, tell me just a little bit about, in brief, your story of how you got into what you're doing right now. At what point did you start focusing on coaching in this area?
Well, honestly, I think I do it naturally, and I think I've just named it, quite frankly. So I feel very fortunate to have actually worked in three separate industries and risen to the top myself. And one of the reasons I think that's important is early on in my life, I found something I love doing, which was working in the hospitality industry, and just love serving people and helping. So it was sort of natural. And then I certainly love the training and development aspects of that, to be able to see people rise to the top of their careers, whatever that is for them. And then from there, I went on to higher education. I earned my doctorate and really wanted to make a difference at colleges and universities, not only working with students, but also working with faculty members so that they could engage those students. And I love that as well. And then now I'm a writer and keynote speaker and innovation leadership coach, and I get to do this every day across multiple industries. So I think I've taken what I've done in singular industries and sort of expanded that so I could help people, because so many people today, Doug, I don't know if you've actually paid attention to the statistics, but even as of yesterday, the statistics still hold true that about 85% of the people that go to work every day do not love what they do. I cannot imagine what that life looks like. I know there are a lot of reasons why people hold on to things, and sometimes it's fear of success, sometimes it's fear of failure, sometimes it's comfort, it's fear of the unknown. And, you know, I get to go to work every day and love what I do. And so it gives me energy, and I really want to help people get to that place for themselves.
You know, you point out something really interesting. I didn't know the statistics were that high. 85% just don't like what they do when to go to work. That seems really staggering. Do you, when you are working and coaching people and talking with them about their career and what has brought them to you for help, do they ever tell you why they have stuck in a career that they don't like at all? I mean, what is your take on that? Why are those statistics so blooming high?
I think, well, first of all, they have responsibilities. So sometimes they could have families, and so they feel responsible for making sure that they can put food on the table and paying the rent and those kinds of things. I think sometimes it's maybe they think that they can't do anything, and it's a leap of faith. I think sometimes, and we can talk about that a little bit later, about some of the strategies to sort of get unstuck. But I think sometimes people, the fear of the unknown is more powerful than actually making the change. And until that change becomes so painful for you to move, you're probably not going to do that, you know?
You know, there's another statistic. This is from your information, that the numbers over the last 15 years say as many as 75% of individuals who are in leadership positions are ineffective at what they're doing. Is that pretty accurate, you think?
That's pretty accurate. I think, you know, from the major HR organizations and associations, and also, you know, Gallup, SHRM, it's been pretty, in Conference Board, it's been pretty much the same, unfortunately, over the last 15 years. But I think that's for a variety of reasons. Sometimes people are pushed into a leadership role. So another one you get pointed into and you step into it and you may not really be ready or want it. Maybe you really enjoyed what you were doing before. I think another thing is that just because you were the great assistant fill in the blank, or you were the best salesperson on the team, and now they think you can be the manager of the sales department, it doesn't really always work that way. And that's why I think that people find, you know, many of the leaders today are ineffective. And if, you know, I speak to groups all of the time, and I would usually ask that question, and I'll ask, you know, how many of you all have worked for an exceptional leader? I go the opposite way, and very few hands get raised. And when they do raise their hands, I say, you are one of the lucky ones. And, you know, but I'm out to really change the trajectory of the workforce, because I want leaders to be effective and exceptional, quite frankly. I wrote about that in my second book, but I really want people to really love what they do. And so there's ways to get there, step by step.
What do you talk to groups about? I know you do a lot of speaking to groups. When you go in and talk to them, I mean, that's a little bit different from coaching an individual on what to do to get out of the rut they find themselves in, or how to make themselves more promotable. What do you talk to people about when you're doing your public speaking? Which, again, I know you do a lot of.
I do. I would say two things. If I have two major messages, one is, you know, I usually start out by, first of all, asking to sort of get a sense of the audience, because I assume nothing when I talk to different audiences. If I'm going into a paid speaking engagement where I know I've done the research on the company, I know who the audience is, I sort of know what the expectations are, and I generally know what the struggles are, the challenges are. And so I'll usually gear my speech around that, but it always comes back to some of the simpler things in organizations. So individuals may have quit on the job, and I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but in other words, they may have tried for a promotion and really didn't get it. And so what happens is when they don't get that promotion, a lot of things happen in that moment. So self-talk is a big one, and that self-talk can go something like this. These people don't like me, it's too political, whatever. You know, it's generally never positive. And then what happens is, in their mind, they start, quite frankly, creating their exit strategy, or they just stay in the job and their performance actually goes backwards. And so that's one thing that can happen. And one of the things that I really like to talk about, not only with senior managers, but also with employees, is change the frame. So when I say change the frame, a lot of things are at play. So if, for example, if I applied for a position and I didn't get it, I don't want to make up some reason why I didn't get that particular position. One of the first things I'm going to do, if my manager was not gracious enough, and I will say gracious enough, to be able to give me some feedback, I'm going to make an appointment with that hiring manager or panel of managers and go in and talk with them. And then what I'm going to do is I am going to ask and just say, you know, I really want to stay with this company. I would really love to be promoted. And what I would really like to do is for you to give me some constructive feedback on how I can improve. And so a lot of times that can be really helpful.
Do you think when you do that, that those executives are really being honest with you in general?
I would hope so. I would hope so. I think, you know, if you go in, so let's talk about approach. So if
that,
I go in,
right.
And
yeah.
let's say I go in and I go in defensively, or I think I've earned it or I deserve it, that conversation's not going to go well. But if I truly can go in and clearly articulate the fact that I am interested in being promoted, I am interested in staying with this company, and I would like constructive feedback on the areas that I can improve, then we're gonna go different. You know, we're gonna go forward. The change the frame is a different conversation with senior leaders. And one of the things that happens sometimes in large corporations is senior leaders get information from their direct reports. And just like all communications, sometimes that gets filtered in the way that I speak or the words that I use or something else. And I might be talking about some situation that happened at work, and maybe there's an employee involved in that. I want to make sure that I clearly communicate that accurately. But what happens, I think, a lot of times, depending on the hierarchy of an organization, is a lot of that communication gets filtered. And so the senior managers may have a viewpoint that's less than positive about a particular employee, and it seems like that employee can't get out of the box, and they're in that box for a really long time, and so it seems like they're not going to get promoted. And one of the things that I really feel strongly about is for managers to take a step back and say, that was a situation, this is what actually happened. It does not paint the last, say, 5 or 10 years of that person's career and the contributions that they make, and to be able to sort of sort that out. But what happens a lot of times, even with middle managers, is they collapse everything into the last 2 weeks of the evaluation, and they think that's who that employee is. I don't believe that for a second. I think that feedback and evaluations should be ongoing. They don't have to be formal. But when I go into my boss at the end of the year, that performance evaluation should not be a surprise. I should be very clearly knowing, you know, really what we're going to be talking about. I should know what my strengths are. I should definitely know what my weaknesses are. I should have known what I worked on over this last year to be able to say to my manager, these are the improvements that I've made. And I would keep notes about those things for both managers as well as employees, because you cannot remember an entire year.
That's true. You know, it's interesting. You have a great website with a lot of information that would be beneficial to anyone who feels that, you know, they should be promoted, but they're not getting promoted. And your website is promotionprotocol.com. Again, it's promotionprotocol.com. They'll also find information about your book there. By the way, we're going to talk about the book in a moment, but where is the book in general available? Obviously, I guess it's available on Amazon. Your website, other places it's available?
Absolutely. It's on Amazon, just like everything else.
And
Barnes & Noble.
Okay, cool. Well, the two big ones covered, Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Correct.
Your presentation, where you're talking to groups, and there's a picture of, you know, you and a typical group you might be talking to, and you have, I was really wondering in my head, what do you tell these people? Because you're an expert in getting promoted. You have a presentation, in effect, that's called The Pathway to Promotion, which you're telling everybody in the audience this information. Am I right on that? That's what you're giving
right.
them?
You're right. You're absolutely right. Absolutely.
So everybody there should be glued to it. You're telling everybody what they ought to do to get promoted within the same blooming company. What are some of those secrets you unveil in your presentation to them?
Sure. So before we even start into the strategies, what I have the audience consider is, has this ever happened to you? And give them different scenarios. And the reason I say that is because that person may be sitting in the audience, it exactly happened to them, but their perspective could be very different than my perspective. There are so many things at play today in organizations that most employees only have a singular focus and they are not privy to everything that goes on inside that organization. So there might be some really great reasons why that promotion didn't happen at the time, and so they may be unaware of that. So let's start there as the foundation. And then once we start to think through, is that me or is that not me, I start to give them some strategies that I think can help them down the promotion pathway. And so the first thing I start with always is self-awareness. And I really think that self-awareness is key. And so things like, you know, what do you really know about yourself? And do you know your strengths? Do you know your weaknesses? Do you know about your communication style? Do you know your personality? Do you know about emotional intelligence, your attitude, or even leadership assessment qualities, those kinds of things? Then under self-awareness, so you could say, yeah, I got this, you know, I'm fantastic, I'm really a great communicator and this and that. All of us, including myself, have blind spots, and you can't see them because they're blind spots. And one of the examples that I use sometimes is if you're driving down the freeway, and in Houston we have lots of freeways, and if you're driving down the freeway and you know in your car you have a blind spot, but if you are daydreaming or you're on autopilot and all of a sudden your car starts to veer left into the next lane, the consequences of that could be deadly. Well, it's the same thing in your career. If you're not aware of the blind spots, problem. And I know that there are a lot of different organizations and assessments and coaches out there today that really focus in on the strengths. Nothing wrong at all with that. But if we're not aware of the blind spots, we cannot correct them. So if you don't know what your blind spots are and you cannot get there by yourself, there's lots of ways to do it. And a very simple way is to think about 3 to 5 people that would provide you with constructive and honest feedback, not your friend who's going to say, Doug, gosh, you are fantastic. You have no flaws. You're awesome. We don't want that. I'm sure all that's true. And we want to uncover something. So I design questions for the person to be able to go and address this. So they develop their own 360-degree learning platform, if you will, from this kind of feedback. You know, so, and we can definitely start with the strengths. You know, what strengths do you see me having? Or I can say, you know, Doug, what do I do every day that frustrates you? Or where do you feel like I'm lacking? Where are areas that I can improve on? And so I'm going to take that information to heart, and I'm going to work on that over the next, you know, however long period of time. So the first strategy, I think, is really self-awareness. And there's so many amazing online assessments that are free today just to go out there if your company doesn't provide that for you, or you're laid off and you're in the job search process. All of those things can be incredibly helpful to gaining your confidence back and to getting back onto the pathway to promotability. I think the second strategy that I talk to people about is really your attitude. You know, are you a person with an attitude, and I mean bad, or is it someone who's really positive? Or are you that person that's, you know, Debbie Downer, Positive Paul, Know-It-All Ned, or are you someone else? Are you a person that people want to be around, you know, sought after in your company? And, you know, the attitude can – go ahead, please.
No, I said that's interesting. That's very interesting. Yeah. Are you somebody who other people want to be around? Got to think about that, right?
Yeah, you really do. I mean, you know, and we all naturally gravitate to people at work, right? There's just people we love to be around because either of their energy or their attitude, and no matter what's happening, you can count on them. And then there are other people that we tend to kind of stay away from or shy away from and not engage with. And so we have to really be real with ourselves, like what is our attitude? And yeah, the other piece of that attitude is that I say today, unfortunately, regardless of what age you are, you know, it's not a matter of if you're going to be laid off at some point over your work life. It's when. And so how quickly can you bounce back from that? And that's easier said than done. But on the other hand, if you're holding a grudge with your former organization, that shows up every single time. It shows up on job interviews. It shows up at work. It just shows up. And so, you know, being able to clear yourself of that and getting back on track is something else. The other thing I think that we know, and this also attitude has to do with communication. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But being clear whether our attitude is really positive or negative. And there are some amazing people that wake up every day, you know, super positive, always happy. That's not me. But, man, when I get to work, you better believe I love what I do. So that part's easy. But if you're not that person, you know, attitude is a choice. And, you know, you say, you might want to say, hey, I'm always in a great mood. I have great attitude. Well, let's test that. What about under stress? So a few weeks ago, I was on a plane, and I had a meeting, obviously, like everyone else, when I got off that plane, a few hours later. And what happened is the pilot came on, and he said, we had a little problem. It's only going to take 20 minutes. You know, everybody's fine. 20 minutes, people can handle. Well, then he comes back on. He goes, well, it's a little more serious than we thought. We're going to have to send away for a part. We have the part, but it's going to take some time. Now, people are starting to mumble, right? It's a full plane. In the meantime, all these people have connections or meetings or something else. There's a reason they're on this plane that's very important to them. Fast forward, we're an hour in, and the pilot comes back on. It's going to take longer than that. Some people are upset, and there's a lot of people behind me that have a lot, you know, there's a whole group of people going to Philly, and they have a connection, and it's very clear to all of us we're not going to make our connection. And in that moment, I sat there, because I have to hold myself in check. I can't be talking about something that I don't do. I said, attitude is a choice, and either can be as upset as everybody else is on this plane, and 50% were mad, and you can imagine the what was being said.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, attitude is a choice. And if the pilot says to me, we have a problem, I want him to fix it or the team to fix it on the ground, not in the air. That's the first thing. Two, I have no control over this. I have no control.
Yeah, so you're right.
I am just going to listen to the expert. And I decided in that moment to take a breath. And I started talking to my seatmate. And it was lovely. And we all had meetings. And finally, it's time to get off. You know, and the pilot always says, you know, or the flight attendant says, you know, please let the people go forward who have connections. I had one. But there was a huge group behind me. And I decided, you know what, let them go. So I said, just go. So they go, and I had already knew I was going to miss my connection. But I got off the plane. I walked calmly. I just got to look at the board, and I thought, I'll just go check to see that plane. Get there. There's a little line. I tell them I had this connection. They said, we didn't know you were coming. And I said, it's not a problem. And he goes, well, let me call. The door was closed. And, they had already boarded everyone.
Yeah.
And I remain calm, and so he says, just a minute. He calls ahead. I've never seen this or happen. It'll probably never happen again, Doug. But he says, we'll open the door, run. I ran, and I said, I have a bag. And they go, no problem. We're ready for you. Put it up there, sat down. It was amazing. I made my connection, went to my meeting, and it was in that moment, I had a choice all the way through every single one of those decisions. And I think that that's what we really need to think about in our personal relationships as well as our professional.
That's a great story.
Well, stress always brings out sometimes the best or the worst in us.
Yeah,
right?
You're right. I've been there. I know what you're talking about. So good for you.
Yeah.
That was great.
This book keeps me humble, if nothing else. So the third strategy is called brand. And, you know, that might be a surprising word for an individual, but we really do have to develop our brand. And so we're a walking billboard every single day in every situation. And, you know, I usually ask people, can you describe your brand? And if they can't, what happens is they have unintentionally developed a brand and they don't even know what it is. So it could be vague, sloppy, nondescript, or it could be, and brand is so much more than just how you dress and carry yourself and communicate. It's how you serve others. It's how you show up and how people can count on you or not. And then the second part of that is really social media, which we live and die today by social media, but it's really those pictures and our posts. And, you know, you have to go back and think about, you know, is it something that's going to help us in our careers or is it going to hinder us? And certainly there's, you know, every day in the news, there's some story out there where someone posted something and either they lost their job because of that or because it was completely inappropriate or the job offer was retracted because that particular person in their post, it didn't fit with the company values. But it can go the opposite way too. So, for example, on the weekend, if you're, you know, volunteering at Habitat for Humanity or the food bank or whatever, and they're checking this out. The interview process today is not the same as it used to be. There are so many steps in it, and they're going to check every social media outlet. There's no such thing as, you know, off the record, and I think that's important for people, particularly young people, to understand once you post, it's out there. And so I think that that's really important to go back and review what you've posted in the past and, you know, starting to create your own brand in a really positive way.
Do you think
you're
it's better to stay off of social media and not be involved?
Oh, no. Not at
all.
No. Oh, my goodness, no. In fact, I think there's such a huge opportunity, even for real young people, to become known as thought leaders, you know, for whatever their area happens to be. Things are, oh, my goodness, no, absolutely. I need to be on social media every day.
Quick question for you. You mentioned something a couple of minutes ago that had me think. What do you mean, define for me emotional intelligence. What do you mean by that?
Sure. So there's social intelligence, and then there is personal intelligence. So one is self-awareness, certainly. And, you know, one of the things that before emotional intelligence came about, I think it was in the beginning of the 80s, if I'm not mistaken. But one of the things is that in the old days, the leaders could come in and be technically competent and be experts in their own field. But there was something missing, and that something missing, I will say, is sort of the heart connection. And I don't mean touchy-feely heart connection. I really mean being aware of yourself emotionally and being able to emotionally connect with people, being paying attention to when that employee comes into your office, how are they doing, and really framing the conversation such that you can get to the outcome that you really want. I think also there's relationship management inside of emotional intelligence. There's just so many different aspects. I mean, we could spend 3 days talking about emotional intelligence. There are fantastic books written on the subject specifically about that. But
I don't want to get off the beaten path here because we're running out of time, and I really want to talk to you about your book in a couple of minutes that we have left. As I mentioned before you went, I doubt you set out in your career to write a book. Am I right?
I definitely did not. You are absolutely
how long
right.
How long did it take you to do this?
Well, putting 30 years into a book, it didn't take as long as you would think. I actually probably start to finish just because it's based on experience and, you know, sort of how I sit with the individual executive committee members or employees. I really just started to write it down, things that I do naturally. And so start to finish from writing the book to editing the book and getting it published was probably 6 months.
Well, I should point out, you've written a number of books, but the brand new one is Promotion Protocol, Unlock the Secrets of Promotability and Career Success. I mean, you have several other books as well, but this one, is this kind of a self-guide to promotion? This is what you teach as a coach? Is that a pretty accurate description?
I think that it can be used in a couple of different ways. And so one way is, you know, it could be a self-guide, but ideally, in a perfect world, I'd love to see it working, is that the manager and the employee go through it together on a weekly basis. So there's 26 different aspects of the book, if you will. And so what I know is that's happening right now. We didn't really talk about it today, but we have a lot of baby boomers ready to retire, and we just cannot fill the talent gap overnight. And we have a lot of super incredible people working inside our organizations who just haven't been coached. And that's what they need. They don't need training. They need coaching. So what I did was I wrote the book because I really want to see younger people be successful earlier, faster. And I also want the more experienced manager to be able to help guide and coach that employee to their greatness. And what will happen at the end of 26 weeks using this book, there's a set of questions for the employee, there's a set of questions for the coach, mentor, or manager to use. And so they're prepared each week, and the meeting can take 30 minutes, and it doesn't have to be a long period of time. And they get clear over 26 weeks, shared expectations. And I think that is really the goal. And they will learn a lot about each other through those conversations. But that's really what I want to do, is to help people really get back onto that promotion pathway and be very clear about what it's going to take.
Well, it sounds fascinating. Dr. Nugent, it's been such a pleasure having you as a guest. Anyone who is stagnating in their career or wants to get ahead, they should go to your website, look up information on the book, which they can find very easily there. And thank you so much for being with us today. You're a fountain of information on this subject. It's been a delight having you. Your website again, promotionprotocol.com, and the book is called Promotion Protocol, Unlock the Secrets of Promotability and Career Success. Should be a great, great you know, volume and a help to anyone who's looking for a new job these days. So, Doctor, thank you very much for being with us. Okay?
Thanks, Doug.
You're welcome. You're welcome. That's it, everybody. We have run out of time for this broadcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Dr. Kim Nugent has been our guest from Houston, Texas. Again, her website, promotionprotocol.com. I'm Doug Llewellyn. See you next time. Till then, take care of yourself. Bye for now.